Father, we honor you. What a privilege it is to come before you on this day and to pause, take a breath, breathe you in, welcome you in. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you and ask you to lead, to guide, and to literally direct our conversation today. Our heart in this is to help people. It's to call out darkness. It's to identify the things that are laid as traps for us by the enemy, Satan himself. Father, we declare that no person is our enemy. We don't have enemies on this earth. We have enemies that are demonic in nature and satanic in nature. And so, Lord, our heart here is to help people. So we thank you that whatever happens today, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust outcomes. We pray like it depends on us, but we trust like it depends on you, because it does. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's Wednesday, October 8th. We get to do this. This is episode number 5.
To do this. We're like regular pros now.
Come on now. It's like we've been doing this
just
forever.
Jump right in and we're good to go. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Had a series of meetings today, but that so goes the life of a pastor.
Yeah,
but
people don't realize that. They think you got it easy, man. Just come in Sunday,
sit around,
do your thing.
Yeah, just pull up some YouTube videos and drink some coffee and read your Bible all day long. Yeah, that's all we do.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. No, I know it's a real busy week, so I appreciate the time. It's been busy for me too. It's been a week. You already. Know,
things can be busy, right? Yeah. What is today? Oh, it's just Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is like a Friday by now, but it's all good. The thing about it is busy can be tiring, whether it's good or bad, right?
Yeah.
It's much more tiring when it's bad. So I've had a good week so far, all 2 days, but it's busy, but it's good. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And we've got some folks coming in from all over the United States tonight we'll be hosting for the next 2.5 days.
Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah. It's a group of pastors. We're kind of synced up. We're on the same page. We believe that God wants to redeem our nation, and he wants to do it through the church, the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of pastors like that. I mean, our hallmarks or our core values are faith, family, and freedom, which I happen to be doing a series on right now. Faith, family, freedom. And we believe that God's heart is to restore our nation back to what our original documents, particularly starting with Mayflower Compact, et cetera.
The documents still say it.
Absolutely. To evangelize. This country is being developed and being dedicated to the Lord to evangelize the world. And that's our heart. So a whole lot of us are finding each other in these crazy times we live in, particularly the last administration before the one we have now.
Yes.
But in a way, it did us a favor because it began to help us wake up and say, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's things going on that are way off.
And that's really where we found each other too, kind of
in
that crossroad of culture, Christianity.
It was.
By the way, I don't know if it's been released yet, but speaking of faith, family, and freedom, you and Damonette did your podcast as part of the message on Sunday. It was fantastic. Live events are in your future, man. I'm seeing sold out stadiums everywhere. It was so good.
Really different. Because the question is it a sermon or a podcast? And the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
We had this idea. So Annette and I invited Annette because we're talking about family.
Yeah.
And I always love when we're together. I love us riffing off of each other. Mm-hmm. And she's so good at podcasting, even though I have to drag her in here to do it. She's so good at it.
She has no idea how natural she is. No, she doesn't.
She's very natural. So mm-hmm. I had this idea. We were at our staff retreat and having a great time. And we were talking about family, about how critical it is that we bring this word on family. Well, Pastor Brian, my associate, executive mm-hmm. pastor, knocked it out of the park last week. I mean, the week before. I'm looking at Annette going, what do I do now? He pretty much covered everything.
How do I top this guy? How do I keep him on his toes?
Yeah, he was on fire. So I thought, now I really felt like it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit leading me, do something different.
Yeah.
Totally different, out of the box. And it just began to gel through the week. And then I finally, like on Saturday, I said, I got it. I know what we're supposed to do. I mean, we already had our content.
Yeah.
but we didn't have an idea of, we were going to sit in chairs, like interview style, mm-hmm. like sitting in the living room. I said, I got one better. I said, let's do it as a podcast.
I got to tell you. So when it started off, you had the theme song and everything, and you started off the way you start the podcast, which is not how you start your Sunday message. Right. And everyone in the church is like, yeah, this is great.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Because
it
was good energy. It was funny, too. It was like, yeah. What's he doing? Oh, that's funny. He's doing a podcast.
Now, I know.
Once a quarter, at least, I would love to see. I mean, everyone likes a proper sermon, a proper message, but once a quarter, man, that, it was just so good.
Mix it up a little bit.
It was. I was just beaming. I'm like, will it be out yet? Has Faith gotten the audio
done? It is out on YouTube. It's also out. I put it on my Facebook page, mm-hmm. Jimmy and Annette Pruitt. It's Jimmy N. Annette Pruitt, like mm-hmm. Jimmy N. Jimmy and Annette Pruitt on our Facebook. It's on our Facebook Bridge Church Fredericksburg, Texas page.
Yes.
So any of those, you can pick this up.
And I'll make sure Faith gets a move on with the audio.
I didn't listen to the whole thing. She's got the audio ready to go. I've got the file.
Oh, okay.
So I just got to.
So it's on you now.
Find some.
I am the podcast guy who sits around and says, hey, have you released that podcast yet? Keep it going.
I got the next 3 days booked.
I hear you.
Tonight.
I hear you.
So hosting pastors.
I've been doing this new thing, or it's not that I decided to do it for the past couple of weeks. It's been like, I get these, you had a great term. I've been getting what I would call downloads from heaven. You said, oh, you got a download from Throne Central, which I threw out at Tina and she's like, well, that's great. I said, yeah, if only I'd come up with it. And I've kind of been letting the Spirit lead all of my podcasts this way. And it's been amazing because certainly with no agenda, I've always been a little dependent on, okay, what does the media have to offer? What are the clips that I can get? What are people talking about? And usually the night before and the morning of, I get this like, just this flood of like, here's what you got to do. And I'm like, okay. And it always comes together. I got all these clips come together. And, you know, and so I have the, you know, little presentation, as I call it, on No Agenda. It could be anywhere from 3 to 12 clips. And if Dvorak is not annoyed and rolling his eyes, it's a great presentation. And so many things for this podcast came together in very much the same way right up until this morning. And the first thing, you sent me this article, which I'm going to put in the show notes, which was from Jordan Rubin, Controlling Dopamine for Motivation, Focus, and Satisfaction. This is a great article. And you want to just, you know, paraphrase what's in it?
Well, yeah, the short version is we're basically, as a culture, dopamine addicted. We like these short bursts of feel good, which is what dopamine is, right? We sacrifice by drowning ourselves in cortisol as well, which is a stress hormone. So you've got stress hormone, you've got a feel good hormone. But I love what Jordan Rubin said. He said the feel good hormone, dopamine, is actually a gift from God. It's a good thing.
This is what was cool about
it. And it's been given to us to reinforce good behaviors, good outcomes. Unfortunately, like anything else,
we're triggering it synthetically.
Yeah, we're triggering it synthetically, and the enemy always likes to hijack anything good.
Yeah.
Anything good.
Yeah.
He wants to try to counteract that. So he comes in the opposite spirit and actually makes something good become bad. Mm. We could say like some medications. Sex. I mean, we can go down the list.
Almost everything.
Anything
can be done that way.
That is good. Parenting, fatherhood, the really big one, family.
Yeah, that
How
one.
How about a baby being born?
Yeah.
So the enemy wants to come and turn, twist, and pervert all these good things. Living a moral and righteous life. Yeah, why not mess that up? You know what I mean? So the enemy, so he's talking about how the enemy has co-opted good things.
Yeah.
And this gift of dopamine, which can actually train you into good things. It's a reward, you know, hormone.
I think in the article he's saying you can get that from reading scripture, from praying, from meditating on scripture, from walking outside
today.
In nature.
Did that for 2 miles this morning. That's why I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
For
real. You know me. I'm always walking with Phoebe.
Yes,
not walking her. She's walking me. A line that was in here, which goes right along with my put down your screens, pick up your Bibles. He says, replace scrolling with scripture.
Oh,
that
man.
Just jumped
Love
out
it.
At me. I'm like, wow,
that's
this is
good alliteration.
So,
right
Well, that's me. I'm alliteration
preacher,
is everything.
Preacher thing
and as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, We are so good at managing and charging our devices. We are so bad at doing that with our spiritual battery. Because, you know, everyone's like, got to charge it. Can I charge? I got to plug my phone. And where's my phone? Is it charging? We know how to do that. We have been completely trained by the mechanism of the battery life.
Oh, you should see my little kit that I take on a trip.
Oh, yeah, for every plug imaginable.
It's a little bag with 15 cords.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm packing this stuff up and I'm grabbing my little go bag.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this is ridiculous. So I heard the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. in my mind yesterday, Adam Curry's voice.
Yeah.
When I took my first sabbatical in a long time.
On a Monday, which is my day.
And it was an actual, I'm taking this day, not, oh, it happens to be a holiday or something happened where I was able to go home early. This was a planned, I'm getting back to my sabbaticals. I got away from it, and I felt like I was being disobedient to the Lord. And so I told Annette, I said, you can do what you want, but I'm taking off on Mondays from now on, and it's going to be a day with the Lord, not a day to catch up on work or a day to start another project. This is going to be me and him. And for as long as he tells me to do it.
How did it go?
Phenomenal, because I got up early in the morning like I always do. I did my daily grind. Yep. I posted it. And then I
turned off the screen right away.
Done.
Don't look at the Facebook.
Annette comes home. Hey, did you hear about this in the news? I said, I did not. She goes, What have you been doing all day? I said, well, I haven't been on the internet all day. I played my guitar. I worshiped. I spent time with Jesus. I prayed through the house. I cooked. You know, I'm doing things that bring me joy, that bring me closer to him.
Yeah.
So I had one of those days.
No, that's great, man. I mean, Mondays, amazing. I force myself into it by playing chess with Willie at 11. I can't do anything after Bible study and breakfast.
I heard you gave him a beat down.
You know, and I saw him on Sunday. I said, bring your A game. And I don't know what he brought. It was like C or D. And, you know, so we usually play two games because we don't like to have a winner, just like, you know, usually it's he'll win, I'll win. He's a good player. I mean, he is a good player. And it came down to 5 pieces each. So it was a pretty tense game. And he's like, well, give me white again. Okay, Willie. All right. You think white's going to do it? I just mopped the floor with him. I was so pleased with myself.
Kicked off your Sabbath with a beatdown.
Yeah, and then drive to the car wash, you know, deposit a check at the bank.
Just do little things here and there.
Walk the dog a little extra long.
The key, though, and we've talked about this before, not on here, but the key on a Sabbath is to keep your mind stayed on him. The Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. And so really it's just this, you get into a mindset where whatever you're doing, you know, you're still, your mind's on him. Mm. You're thinking about him. You're whispering things. I love to talk to him as I'm going, you know, just, you know, how we think in a monologue,
but I like to think in a conversation,
think in a dialogue.
Yeah, sure.
So as I'm thinking, instead of talking to myself, I'm going to talk to him now. So I'll bring him into everything I do. And that's just life-giving. Talk about dopamine dump.
Exactly.
That's real stuff.
Precisely. I'll be walking. I'll hear like, no, you need to put this with this. I'm like, I used to think, wow, I'm so brilliant. I can't believe how good my mind is. And now like, oh, I see what's going on here. So like, then I'll say out like, yes, Lord, I got it. Okay, this one, I got it. And yeah, the dopamine flows. I'm always excited.
Yeah.
Like, holy mackerel. He's just giving me stuff completely out of the blue. So there's some other things that happened that just came to me that was like, wow, I got to share this with Jimmy.
Cool.
And all of our 50 people? I don't know
whoever happens to be listening. Right?
We have no idea. I've started many podcasts. It builds. Yeah, this is, so we're good. So Brad Stein, I think he calls himself God's comedian. We've had him here at the church with Rick Green. The guy is funny and he's energetic and he's kind of wild and, you know, and he's on fire for Jesus and taking no prisoners when it comes to culture in America. This week, this very short week, I have received this clip from 5 different people, none of them believers, all saying, this is so good, I can't believe it. And it's an old Brad Stein clip, which is just for some reason, I can say there's lots of reasons, has gone viral. And I know it's a very old clip because of his hair. And I hope he's not listening. But by the way, Brad has his own podcast. I've been on the podcast. He's a fascinating guy. He has lots of interesting guests. It's a little on the long side, about 4 minutes. But I wanted to share it with everybody because it is good. So this is Brad Stein. And this is the relevance of the Bible in culture. And he'll take you through a little journey here.
But I just want you to know that faith does have purpose and value, and it can be used intellectually. And people say, yes, what's the difference? You know, what, the Bible's just another book. No, first off, that's wrong. The Bible's not a book. The Bible's 66 books. 40 different people wrote it. Over 1,500 years. There's never been a book like that in history. Ever. Does that make it the Word of God? No. It just means it's worth considering. Because there's never been a book like this. Gives you some reason to consider it over the others. Oh, well, how about history? For hundreds of years, archaeology has used the Old Testament and New to find buildings, to find people, to find civilizations, to find kings that didn't exist or they didn't think they did. And suddenly the Bible said they're there and they dug it up and there it was. Does that make it the Word of God? No. It means it's historically accurate. Real people really existed and really wrote down what they saw. It's worth considering. And then they said, we're going to have God show up. And lots of people said that. Lots of religions say it. Don't worry, we'll prove it as a rational God would do. I will do prophecies. I will show that I'm not trapped in linear time, that I can see beyond where you are. I will give prophecies to tell you what the guy, when I show up and God appears on earth to reveal himself, I'll show you what he's going to look like. Over 300 prophecies. And then a man showed up one day named Jesus. And he said, I'm that guy. And he fulfilled all 300 prophecies. That's impossible. People could say, well, yes, they just wrote it afterwards and filled it all in. But we know that the first Greek translation of the Old Testament was done 250 years before Jesus was born. So how could they possibly know that he'd be born in Bethlehem? How could they possibly know he was going to be crucified when crucifixions didn't even exist as a capital punishment yet? How could they know that he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver 250 years before there was a Jesus? Does it make it the Word of God? No, but it's starting to get close. And then Jesus said he would fulfill these things and did miraculous things to prove I'm not just a guy talking like everybody else. Look what I've done. And some people believed and some didn't. That's how humans are. And then he said this, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to die. And I'm going to come back to life. Nobody's ever done that. And he died. And all those who were with him 3 years ran in fear, as would all of us. And they ran away and they said, I guess we were wrong. And then something happened. Something happened that made all of these guys come back and be willing to be martyred for this belief system, except for one. Of course, John was sent off, but everybody died a martyr's death. What was it for? Because they thought they were going to get rich. There was no riches here. There was no riches. The Roman government hated them. They wanted them destroyed. They'd use them as people that could be eaten alive by animals for sport and entertainment. You were kicked out of your culture. The Jews weren't going to take you in. So there was no value there. There was nothing good here. There was nothing here to gain. And they all still died for what? Because they found a new religion? No, for one reason. They said this. I saw him die. And I saw him come back. And that's it. You don't have to believe it. And why did he die? So you could have a perfect life? No, so you didn't have to go to hell. I don't believe in a God who would send people to hell. He didn't give hell for you. That's what's great about Christianity. It gives you all the answers. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But it was part of the rules he put into nature, that we live in. That anybody that rebel against him, this is where they're going. So once we did that, he could have bailed out. Sorry, you're going to hell. He didn't. He said, don't worry, kids, I'm coming down. So if you go to hell, you chose him. And you will not sit there and argue with him. You'll know what you've done. And if you're an atheist, let me tell you something. That's your dilemma. If we all die and there is no God, it's just eternal unconsciousness, you'll never know. But if you're wrong, you'll know forever. And it's not a gamble anybody should take. Well, what are you saying? I should just believe in Jesus so I don't go to hell? Pretty much.
I just hope someone heard that and got something out of it, because when five non-believers send this to me, there's something about it that's going on that this clip is resurfacing.
That is amazing. I love Brad. Brad is a fast talker, fast thinker.
Very.
He moves. He never stops. I mean, he weighs 90 pounds because he's just like all over the place.
Same in this clip. He's walking. And it's like some grungy comedy club. I'm not sure where it is. They're like trash cans everywhere.
And yet he always brings straight up truth.
Yep.
And always he gets you laughing and then he brings a zinger.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
And he's a pro at it. But I love his heart. Love the guy's heart because he's so dug in about Jesus, but also so dug in about love for our country and our nation. Mm-hmm. And he has this way of marrying the two and why they are commingling. It's phenomenal. He's a pro. I love him.
He's so good.
Love the guy.
So good.
How was it doing a podcast with him?
It's been a while because that was when he was here at the church. I think I did it a couple weeks after.
You did.
It was good. I mean, I honestly, I can't remember. But it was fun. But I was also a much younger Christian at the time. So I've grown. I feel like I've accelerated so much.
No doubt.
In such a little amount of time.
No doubt.
It's just like everything in the world just revolves around it now.
And Adam, just even on that little note right there, a little caveat, that's happening everywhere right now.
Amen.
There's an acceleration like I've never seen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were younger and we were coming to Christ, it seems like it took two or three decades to get where you are because it was a different season in the world, a different economy, different culture. There was a different life. And for whatever reason, some things are accelerating right now. I mean, tens of thousands of people are getting baptized all over the United States. I mean, every week, I'm reading 6,000 here, 8,000 here, 200 here, 500 mm-hmm. here. It's happening everywhere, and I've never seen it like this in my history.
Which has been 40 plus years that you've been doing this.
Yeah. And older guys that have walked in this thing a lot longer than I have are saying the exact same thing. We've never seen it like this. Mm-hmm. God is up to something. I watched, by the way, two flights to Nashville. You know, up and back.
Don't tell me you watched Twister again.
No, it went off the rotation on Southwest.
Oh, no.
So I'm a little depressed about that because I was going to watch Twister for the 45th time. Yeah. But instead, I watched The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh,
the movie.
Wow. Yeah.
I haven't watched that in years, right?
Yeah,
we watched it with
that.
My daughter when she was little. And I thought, hey, I haven't seen that. I love C.S. Lewis. Watched it. I was stunned. I've seen it before several times. But for some reason, because we're in a different season of life, things land differently, right?
Sure, sure.
They hit different. Mm-hmm. And this scene where Aslan, they put him on the table, he lays his life down to the White Witch, and all these demons are around. I'm on the plane. I'm going, this is their recreation of that moment of the demonic laughter, mocking, hatred. Let's humiliate him. Let's cut all of his fur off. I mean, let's take his mane off. I mean, everything they could do to humiliate him.
Yeah.
And he could have at any moment gotten up and walked off.
Of course. Yeah.
Didn't. But he didn't.
Didn't.
And I love the very end. Of course, Lucy and Mr. Tumnus are watching Aslan walk away on the beach, kind of into the sunset kind of thing. Yeah. And she says, Mr. Tumnus says, he's not a tame lion.
Yeah.
And Lucy says, but he's good.
Yeah.
Man, it was worth watching the whole movie to get to that line.
Was that a Disney movie?
I think it was, maybe. Because it's super well done. I mean, it was.
I should look that up.
Creative. Mm. It's a different day for Disney.
No kidding.
It's been a couple of decades ago.
You know, so in kind of in line with that, and by the way, you know, I hear more and more people say, or remind us that during the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, people didn't realize until 10 years later. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have the internet, but that realization as to how it was happening everywhere. And I don't know, maybe despite the internet, we may not really be seeing everything that's happening.
I think history gives you a different perspective because it's almost like you're elevated and looking down on something, whereas when you're in it, you're literally in it.
Yeah.
And so you can't see all the moving parts, but then history gives us this great perspective of, oh, and that happened, and that happened, and simultaneously that happened. And
yes.
We can't get that even with everybody carrying a phone, you know, and a camera in their hand, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just do it. We can't take in that information, that much information. But I think from what I'm seeing,
also the algos may not steer us towards that kind of information.
Yeah, they may not let you drive down that road for very long. They'll move you off onto something else because you mentioned something about thermal socks and it ends up on your newsfeed 15 minutes later.
Yeah, exactly.
A mind bending.
Exactly.
We see this every day. So for me, I've been stepping back from social media. There have been a couple times, even this week, where I was like, I should post. Now, why am I posting that? I'm starting to ask myself questions.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Is it because you want somebody to go, attaboy? Mm-hmm. Way to go. Way to go, Pastor. You're so good, Pastor Jimmy.
You showed him.
Even Darren Darren Tyler out of Conduit Church in
Nashville.
Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin, Nashville. You know, he said, man, I've been following you online. Man, it looks like you got a ton of things going. And at first I was flattered by that. And later I thought, is that what I'm portraying?
That you got a ton of things
that I've
going.
I've got a ton of things going. And I've just started backing away. Also took another word of advice from you.
From me?
From you.
Okay.
And it was when you said, you know, I used to get tons of texts all the time. But when I stopped texting people, I quit getting tons of texts all the time.
It's magical the way it works.
I've been pulling back.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'll go, who have I not talked to?
Really?
In a while?
Oh, see, I've never had
that.
That's
interesting. I love people deeply.
Of course.
I love maintaining some semblance of a friendship.
Yeah.
And I'll just scroll through my tech and go, gosh, I haven't talked to that guy in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Text. As though they're the same.
Yeah.
And I've done that for years and I've just stopped. Guess what? I'm hardly getting any texts.
Do you feel lonely? Do you feel left out of the loop? Do you feel like
Yeah. FOMO, right? Mm-hmm. Hashtag FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it at first, but I identified it because I knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So because I was expecting to feel that way, or I expected that potential.
Yeah.
And I told Annette, I said, it's interesting. It sometimes dawns on me, I'm the only guy reaching out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the guy who's staying in that person's life or pursuing or, and I told Annette, I'm kind of done with that.
Well, now there is
not in a mean way.
No, but there is also a factor about, cause I have this, like, well, I didn't want to bother you cause I'm sure you're busy because you're a podcaster or you're a pastor or you're whatever. There's a lot of that. And I always tell people, please, you know, always reach out whenever you want to. There is that factor.
Right.
And just this morning, I reached out to someone who I hadn't actually seen in church for a while. I was pretty sure they were back in Florida and said, hey, we want to have dinner with you. So that's a regular reach out.
Sure.
The worst are text groups. And the text groups, I'm in maybe three. One of them is our table two from the men's breakfast. I love this. Anthony kind of put that together and there's nothing going on. He'll send out maybe once a week, he'll send out something like an encouraging message. Let's go make this a great day, men. And he'll send a Bible scripture and we all like give thumbs up and folded hands emoji and all that.
Right.
And that's really nice because that's like an encouragement thing
that.
Or someone needs encouragement, but it's very infrequent. And then I tend to never post in the groups that I've been added to that are sending me links to Instagram and TikTok and look at this. Like, I don't even respond. I'm just like, no, I cannot. Because that is...
I'm in two of those right now.
Yeah. Those are just no good. My favorite text people are pastors because they just don't answer you at all.
That's true.
I'm trying to get hold of pastors. Like, we 6 are the, 6
we
a.m.
can
that's
be
when
the
you can
worst. I tend to be. I fault on the other side where I overanswer. It's like, oh, yeah, let's have a conversation. No, I was just
well,
trying to
get you
something.
Well, you and I are different. Like, if you haven't heard from me by 10 a.m., you're like, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Is everything all right?
You can't get up.
Is everything okay with you?
Do you not have your, I don't even know what they call that thing on your.
The life alert.
The life alert.
Help, I've fallen.
Is your life alert not charged?
Yes.
Battery out.
So I was going to play a couple of clips about the genesis of how the enemy has used, because we've been kind of, this kind of been a thread for the past. Hey, we're episode 5, man.
Wow.
And I found some other things that maybe I didn't want to play these, but I think I will. But what started this is, and it was from Throne Central.
Mm.
You brought up Paul Harvey
on
the last episode. And as if my phone was listening to me, up pops the classic 1965 Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. And I want to play that because it's real. It's from 1965. It was from a radio broadcast. This has been enhanced a little bit because it's all kind of fuzzy the way it sounds.
Yeah.
So I was one. 1965, wow. And this is what he was clearly identifying and already saying as, this is what I would do if I were the devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Boom.
Wow. That is like prophetic because literally you can go down the checklist on everything he said.
And think of all the things that have already happened. It's happened. It's not even happening.
65, is
that
right?
Yeah, 65.
Who authored that?
I think he wrote it himself.
You think he wrote it?
Paul Harvey did that.
He was sharp.
That's the rest of the story. I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. Yeah. It's just like, wow.
Wow.
Now, of course, this didn't just come out of nowhere. The enemy has been working for a long, 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 long time. Probably, since forever, since day one. And I could have read these, but the ladies from Promethean Action, who I like so much, who are kind of played a couple of clips then before.
Oh, right, right.
These two older ladies, our age, Jimmy.
They have very interesting voices.
And she did a series, they're all short clips, of different people and intellectuals and what they have said that they were going to do throughout the years to in my mind, to do the work of the devil. And the first is Bertrand Russell. You've heard of Bertrand Russell, very famous philosopher. He lived in the late 1800s in England. She's actually going to do a little intro because she's also going to do Aldous Huxley, which we'll talk about, and then our favorite George Soros, also from the British banking cabal. So start off with Bertrand Russell, which people study in university to this day.
I just want to talk about three people today: Bertrand Russell, Aldous Huxley, and George Soros. The three of them together describe the cultural attack our nation has suffered since our elites declared the post-industrial society in 1971 and sold us out.
1971, by the way, is an important date. 1971 is also when the U.S. went off the gold standard. There's what happened in 1971.com, I think. There's a whole list of all the 1971, for some reason. I'm sure someone will do numerology and come up with 666.
Probably.
You know, you got plus this times that divided by that. I love those numerology things. It's amazing. And 71. I mean, this is our lifetime, brother. This is when we were around.
Here is Lord Russell in 1951 in his work, The Impact of Science on Society, describing the future as he saw it. I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. Its importance has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Of these, the most influential is what is called education.
Boom.
The subject will make great strides when it is taken up by scientists under a scientific dictatorship. The social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. Various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of the home is obstructive. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. Fourth, that the opinion that snow is white must be held to show a morbid sense of eccentricity.
I mean, there's a lot in there, again, wow. That is just like, especially music with beats. I mean, this is all right here. And I'm not living in Footloose, you know, like we can't have rock music and, you know, in fact, far from it. But, you know, this was planned. I mean, this has all been a part of how to control people through, I believe, the influence of the enemy. Now, Aldous Huxley, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He wrote A Brave New World, in which everyone is kind of floating on this drug called Soma, which, you know, take your legal or illegal drug these days. Here's what he said. I think this was at a Voice of America conference.
Aldous Huxley was part of Russell's nest in British intelligence, along with the Satanist Aleister Crowley. He played a huge role in the 1970s counterculture. Speaking to a 1961 conference sponsored by the Voice of America, Huxley said the following: there will be in the next generation or so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that the people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution.
And I believe that we've gone from, well, we already have the pills everywhere. I believe we've moved straight to the technology and the addictive nature of that.
Famous line from the World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and you will be happy.
It's exactly right.
Man, I've heard that over and over.
And so I think this guy was on the Sean Ryan show. He's a CIA profiler. I'm not going to put too much credence into his title, but what he said, I think, is spot on.
I'm the guy that teaches PSYOPs. Telling you that we are in a PSYOP. 1,000%. We are in a big time PSYOP. And that does not mean that I have some kind of X-ray vision and I can see the puppet masters up above the stage. I'm not saying I don't research that stuff.
Right.
But I do research these techniques. And they're definitely here. And it looks like this is the same process that's happened all over the world where PSYOPs were sped up. Mm-hmm. And weren't allowed to mature before the next phase began. Mm-hmm. And I think people are saying, well, this is bonkers or this is ridiculous, just crazy. Like it's just in your face.
Yeah.
It's from the left, from the right, from everywhere.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with left or right. And I think that is in itself a whole nother discussion.
Yes.
But we're seeing a timeline being sped up. We're seeing things done more and more in the open because there's probably not time for the previous step to mature to get our minds ready to receive the next one.
I see.
That's what it is.
It's actually the Robert Breedlove show. He's a believer. He's a believing Bitcoiner.
Gotcha.
So, of course, this guy, I don't think, is a believer because he doesn't see what we see right away. It's like, yes, it is a massive psyop, and it's all the work of the enemy. And it's for profit from Silicon Valley. It's for all different reasons. I guess for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
But, man, it's just when people are identifying this but not able to take the next step and say, where is this coming from? How do we help ourselves to protect ourselves from this?
So when he used that word psyop and that we're all living in this dumbed down existence without having real cages or real chains, but we're willingly participate, it reminded me of the Matrix. I went Matrix, man. It's
very
the same.
Yep.
I'm content to be plugged in and resting in goo, you know?
Literally as a battery, functioning as a battery,
living in my mind and living into these induced programs. So that was really interesting. And man, you can just see it. It's literally like, I'll say maybe it was more obvious to me in the last administration when so many things are being thrown at us. I mean, it seemed like every day, here's your Secretary of Health, most unhealthy person I've ever seen in my life, mentally ill. And yet she is, you know, 81 pronouns. I mean, it just got kids wearing furry costumes to school and using the bathroom in a
litter box,
in a big litter box. And everybody was trying to go, yeah, that's okay. We just need to affirm, you know, their mental instability. I mean, it's like the whole world went crazy. And if you're not in the Matrix and you're the outside looking in, I felt like we were those guys in goggles and, you know, dystopian, you know, Mad Max outfits sitting in a chair with a computer. And I mean, I felt like that every day, like, am I the only one that's seeing this?
So it's where a lot of people think that COVID was really the final death blow for us to ever get out of the hole. I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's what woke a lot of people up. Now, it made a lot of people very mad. And I think that the trauma is very real and they haven't gotten over their anger and they're getting angry at the wrong people continuously. Agreed. Everyone's trying to point out a person or a party.
We all want a face or a name.
In fact, boy, do we.
And yet, you and I both know the real face and the real name.
Yes.
But that's too simplistic. People don't want to, even Christians don't want to hear that Satan's behind all this. They go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, but. You know, like they're trying to rush you on past it. Like, oh, I know, but what about George Soros? What about, I mean, this guy, is he still alive?
Barely.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah, but his son, I mean, but the Open Society Foundation is well funded and will go on for decades to come.
Right. No doubt.
He set that all up. That's not a problem there. But yeah, it's hard for people. And I'd be honest with you. I mean, I was the conspiracy theorist turned into a conspiracy therapist. But you always want to face, you always want to blame someone. For years, oh, it's Obama. In fact, how many people have I not heard said, oh, he's the Antichrist. Everybody's the Antichrist. If we can learn to step away from the face, this is what brought me to my faith is Naomi Wolf writing about good people who she'd known for years and how they were talking in a certain scenario said, this is not these good people. Something has taken hold of them. And how she wrote about that and explained is what, you know, we all believe there's good and bad, good and evil in the world. When you actually really get into it and believe it and you read that it's been written about, it's like, yeah. And we have prayer. We have all kinds of things we can do to fight back against that. I wish everyone saw that.
I know. And the fact that they don't, they look at us like, like we're stuck in the dark ages.
Well, your sky daddy's going to help you is what they say to me.
Right. Hey, is your sky daddy going to help you? Right, right. Big man upstairs.
So I'm going to bring
actually,
this.
He is.
So. I'm going to bring this all the way around back to. So this is the Throne Central moment. So tonight I'm recording with Jonah and Gage. They have the Young and Faithful podcast, also on the Godcaster. It's on Bridge Church Godcaster, on Hello Fred Godcaster. And so he always sends me some stuff that he wants to have because I got to teach him how to do this themselves, right. You know, because this is now episode 6 with them. Like, I'm going to teach you guys how to do this. And you will not believe, or you will believe it, what he sent me, this will come out after their podcast, so I'm okay playing, jumping the gum on it. This is what he sent me, and I could not believe it that this happened while I had just gotten that clip of Paul Harvey. This is Rich Wilkerson, I think he's a pastor. Listen to this.
ChatGPT, sir, ma'am, whoever you are, Antichrist, if... if you were the devil, what would you do? And the answer that came back at me shook me in my shoes. I want to bring it up on the screen. I want you to see this. This is what ChatGPT said. It said, if I were the devil, I wouldn't waste my time trying to get you to worship me. No, I'd just convince you not to worship God at all. I'd tell you truth is relative. Your truth, my truth, until nobody knows which way is up. I'd whisper, as long as you're happy, it's right. I'd keep you busy, too busy for prayer, too busy for church, too busy for crew. I put that one in. Too busy to ask eternal questions. I'd fill your hands with a phone so you'd never have time to fold them in prayer. I'd break families, get fathers absent, marriages bitter, and kids confused. If I can fracture the home, I can fracture the future. I'd divide the church, petty arguments, comparison, offense, celebrity culture. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. I'd desensitize you. I'd glamorize sin in movies, normalize it in music, laugh at it in comedy, and celebrate it in culture until what once shocked you now entertains you. I'd attack your identity. I'd make you question who you are, where you belong, and whether you matter. I'd whisper shame so loud you can't hear God's voice of love. And through it all, I wouldn't even try to prove I exist. My greatest trick is to convince you I'm not real. Because if you don't believe I'm real, you'll never resist.
Had you seen this before?
I have actually played this for our staff on our staff retreat.
Oh, really?
We read it. I didn't play it.
I was blown away by this.
So, interesting enough, so while we're on the staff retreat,
yeah,
here's what I did. Out of curiosity, making sure it wasn't a preacher thing. So, I wrote, here's my ChatGPT. Uh-huh. I wrote, if you were the devil, what would you do? Here's ChatGPT's response. Nice prompt. Classic thought experiment. Below is a modern, slightly theatrical take written as the devil himself were giving a strategy memo in its title, If I Were the Devil, a 21st Century Playbook. And it goes through, make the small things huge and the huge things small. Turn truth into your truth. And it just goes down the list.
Wow.
So we read this to the team, you know, and they're all doing kind of the same response you heard there. The church going, oh, you know, is the same thing. And we actually played for each other. We played it out loud, the Paul Harvey version of that.
Oh, excellent.
So we actually did that.
Wow.
We're sitting around talking because we're talking about these things. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's talking about these things.
Yes.
Maybe not in the exact same thing, but they're talking about AI. They're talking about, is it healthy? Is it bad? Is it going to destroy us? Is it going to eat itself? You know, turn inside out. Which is what you're praying for.
Yes.
Yeah. Eat itself like day. A snake eats its own tail, right?
Model collapse is what we call that.
Right. Yes. Okay. So all that's happening. So because you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Now we're as a team, we're talking about it and asking real questions about it. So mm-hmm. it was part of our discussion. So it's cool. It's
amazing.
Good, healthy stuff.
I just love that these 14-year-old young men have seen this, come up with it, want to play it, want to share it with their audience. I think after their podcast, I'm going to play them the Paul Harvey. I don't want to
you know, pollute whatever they're doing.
I right, right. Say,
by the way, even when I was 1 year old, this is what people are talking about. So, man, I hope we can get out of this. Hope we can break this cycle. The
At
cycle
least that's, make people more aware that there may be something going on bigger than, you know, setting up 15 manufacturing plants to house the computers to do this over in wherever McKinney, Texas, and yeah. down the street, New Mexico, or whatever. So I know people are freaking out over a lot of different avenues of this. I, as an experiment at home with Annette, pulled mm-hmm. up ChatGPT. I'd never asked it a question, like verbally.
Oh, you did the voice thing?
So I did the voice thing. I'd never done it before. And yeah. I threw out a scenario. Hey, my wife and I are going to be speaking to our church. We're pastors of an evangelical Christian church, slightly spirit-filled, but not totally charismatic. I just tried to give as much information.
Did you use that voice, Jimmy, like that?
We're slightly spirit-filled. I literally did. I'm just like going down the line, going blah, 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 blah.
It's not
blah,
how
blah.
You talk. That's why it's so funny. I know, funny.
Right. And I'm just doing it because I'm looking at a computer. I know. Then, so how do you talk to a computer?
You see that little yeah, thing going little up and down thing. The yeah. circle?
Yeah. yeah. Letting me know that it was getting a signal.
Yeah.
And when I stopped, within seconds,
it came right back.
It came back, and it came back like we're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a girl.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And she had this super sweet, mm-hmm. kind of inclusive voice where you feel really like, she gets me.
Yeah.
And Annette's going, her voice is amazing. I said, first of all, it's not a her.
Stop
there
right there.
There is no
Stop
humanity
right there.
Here.
Yep.
This is a record. But we were shocked at how good it was
mm-hmm.
and how quick it was. And she came back with, you should talk about these points. Here's some great talking points that'll help you as you talk to your church to encourage them and build them up in their faith. I mean, it was like creepy.
Did you agree with everything that came back?
Pretty much. It was yeah. good. It was solid. We didn't use any of it in our speech because we were ready to go. But I was like, here's what Annette and I talked about. We said we could see how somebody who's lonely, mm-hmm. broken, tired of people, has social anxiety and doesn't want to be around people, could quickly find what they think is a friend right there on their computer or their phone
yep.
in seconds. We see the attraction because Annette said her voice is like inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, hey, there's several more here. And we scrolled through the voices.
Different yeah. voices.
Some of them were like, ew, I don't think so. I don't like it's his voice.
You know? Yeah.
So we went through several and Annette said, well, I like the first one. And I said, well, we're not doing this again. I'm just showing you what this does and how I can see how people who are susceptible to needing somebody who's always going to encourage them.
Yeah.
Always going to build them up. So here's what I found. There's a little trick I played just for fun. I said, well, thank you very much for your answer. And she said, well, you're very welcome. If you have anything else. And I said, well, I really appreciate that. Well, I appreciate you. She had to get the last.
It had to get the last word. Yeah.
Finally, I just gave up. Said, okay, this could go on all day long.
Yeah.
Because it'll whatever you're doing, it's just prompting.
But
it's
we've been so conditioned to have data on Star Trek. You know, the computer talking back. You know, Danger Will Robinson. The
Cow. Cow 2000. Yes,
David. I'll be right there with, you know, I'm driving myself over there now.
Thank you, Hal.
All of these things. We've been conditioned for that. We've got to be careful.
Man.
Really careful.
I can see the attraction. I can see why somebody would fall into that.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the best Parler tricks they've ever put together. And now, I don't know if you've seen this Sora 2.
Is that being released or has been?
It just came out in the past couple of weeks where you can put yourself in all these fantastical movies. And so, of course, the whole point of the app is to get your face, is to get all your biometrics and then, you know, what you look like. And then you can be in the Star Wars movie, in the Matrix.
Like you're in it, like watching it, like a play out?
It's hyper realistic. It's unbelievably good. But of course, it is the epitome of idolatry and ego and pride. And it's going to shut down or it'll change because, of course, it's a huge copyright violation. But the whole point was you don't get to use it unless you scan your face. That was the whole point behind it.
So going back to let's go back where we started. Yeah. Jordan Rubin, that article on dopamine.
Yes. There it is.
I can see how this would trigger dopamine because it feels good.
Massive
it's a feel
amount.
Good thing.
And you can show people. Yes. Yeah, I'm in an actor.
Movie.
Yeah, I'm an actor. I'm a superstar now. I got likes on it.
So get it. When I did a song, remember I talked about, I took one of my daily grinds.
Yeah.
And I just copy pasted into Songer or something like that. And it had like three free things, you know, and then after that, they're $19.95 a piece or something like that.
A month. No, it's a month.
But I was able to do three, but I couldn't save it unless I went ahead and subscribed, which I did not do. So I did it with Annette sitting there. I said, let's check this out, because I've got people sending me songs all the time that they wrote. I'm like, you didn't write that. You know, it was a machine wrote that, and it's ripping off 700 artists and not paying them. So I did it. I did my daily grind. It was
good.
I did it in 90s rock style. And Three Doors Down.
Let me guess. You felt a little proud about it?
I actually went, that is amazing.
Because I did the same with Ephesians.
It felt amazing.
With Ephesians 6:12. And dopamine. I prompted three or four times. I paid the $20.
Paid?
Yeah, because I wanted to put it on Hello Fred. I was so proud. And I'm realizing what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm a complete fraud.
You're a fish on a hook.
I literally took an NLT translation of Ephesians. All I said is, this is the chorus.
Oh, okay.
And I said, no, not like that, not like that, like this. And then it did it. And it's you're right. Right back to the dopamine thing. And
flood. You get flooded with a feel good hormone.
We should, Ooh. There should be if only I knew a pastor who could talk about this and show people how you can get dopamine in other ways, because we are dopamine crazed at the moment.
Well, I heard about a pastor who preached a whole sermon on PSYOPs, so maybe we could tap that guy.
Well, wasn't that you?
Yes, it was me.
I'll put the...
Joe Burkett found me and like, that was awesome.
That was the best.
I checked it out online.
I'll put that in the show notes. Okay, so wow. We went all the way around full circle, I think.
Well, you came back where we started.
That's what I like, so I think we should probably end it there.
Good deal.
Should we do it again next week?
Let's do it, brother.
We'll keep on going. Fine. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. We get to do this. Have a good one, everybody.